We're going to be getting to Matthew 10, 16 to 30, which is what's printed in your bulletin. But before we move directly into those words, I think we need to back up to have a sense of where this fits in the larger story that Matthew is telling in his gospel. To remember that up until this point, when we get to Matthew 10, there's been a few things that have already happened. And much of it gets captured in words that are in Matthew chapter 4. So if you're following in your Bibles and you want to follow along, and just a little bit earlier than Matthew 10, Matthew 4, verses 23 to 25. It's a great summary or a kind of synopsis of what Jesus was up to at this time and in the region. And it reads this way: Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him. It's a great synopsis of what it was like as Jesus went along and he had called his disciples and they were with him in it. And then when we get to Matthew 5 and 7, there's the famous Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount, of which the Beatitudes are only the beginning. And then we get into Matthew 8 and 9, and we read that there's more healings that happen. There's the story of the stilling of the storm when the disciples were in the boat and the storm rose up and the disciples were afraid for their lives, and Jesus just, with a word, makes the whole storm be still. And there's a story there in Matthew 9 of Jesus raising somebody from the dead. So all of these are the things that are happening around Jesus. These are all the kinds of things that the disciples are witnessing as they're traveling along with him. And it must have been so incredible to be with him in all of that. Don't you think? To be right there, to have a front seat view of the healing of things that were incurable, of the raising of the dead, of the stilling of a storm with a word, all of these miracles taking place that were extraordinary, that were beyond their imagination, and they were witnessing it firsthand. And so then that's the context. That's what's happening. And then he decides he's going to send out his disciples. They're going to go out kind of on a trial run, but he's sending them all out to do the same things that he's been doing. We talked about this last week, that Jesus sent out his disciples to be like him out wherever they went. So all of those things that Jesus was doing, his teaching, his proclaiming of the kingdom, his demonstration of the kingdom by curing the diseases and all of the things that he was doing, they were being sent out to do likewise. He gave them authority over all of those things so that he could do likewise. And they've been watching him and they'd been in his presence and they'd experienced the extraordinary miracles firsthand. And they must have just, like, Jesus says, okay, now it's your turn. Do you want to go? I'm going to give you all the authority so you can go. They're like, yes, we've got this. Yes, we can go. It was like they'd been at a great conference and the big rally and everybody got all excited and they were all excited to go out because they'd been kind of this mountaintop-like experience. And so then he says to them, in Matthew 10, starting at verse 16, this: I'm sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Well, that maybe knocks down some of the excitement. Beware of them, for they will. And I want you to notice that will, because he says it over and over and over again. Not they might, or maybe this will happen. They will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. Can you picture the disciples? This excitement, they've seen all of these things, they're being sent out, they're ready to go. And then Jesus, No speaker should like you pump people up to send them out and do the thing they're supposed to do and then let them go. But nope, Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus pumps them all up and then says, oh, but by the way, all these horrible things are going to happen. They must have been going, what, Jesus? What, we weren't quite expecting this. And he goes on, when they hand you over, do not worry about how you're to speak or what you're to say. That's great, for you are to say what will be given to you at the time, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. That's great. You know, when you're standing before the councils, you're going to have the words. God's Spirit will give you those words, so don't worry about that. If I was a disciple, in all honesty, I'd look at Jesus and I'd go, I wasn't actually worried about what I was going to say, Jesus. I was worried about the flogging. I was worried about the being dragged before the council. So thanks for that, about the words you'll give me to speak. But still, the flogging, the being dragged before the council, the being arrested, all these horrible things are still there. And Jesus doesn't make it better. He says sibling will betray sibling to death, and a father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. What is he sending us out to? You know, we've seen all the great things. He told us we had authority. We were feeling good about this. We were set to go. And now, what's he telling us? My brothers and my sisters are going to hate me, even to the point that they'll want to see me dead. Parents are going to go against their children. Children will rise up against their parents. We're all going to be hated by everybody. This is not a good sending him out speech. And he keeps going. When they persecute you in this town, flee to the next one. Not just like there's another gospel that talks about like just shake the dust off your feet and go on. And that sounds like, oh, that's nice, right? Like it sounds easy. It sounds like, okay, they didn't receive me, so we'll just, and off we go. We'll just move to the next one. But here he says, flee to the next town, run away as fast as you can. When they persecute you, flee, run away. For truly I tell you, you won't have finished going through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes again. At which point I'd be like, do we have to go at all, Jesus? I know we've seen all this that you've done, and I know that you said you're giving us all this authority, but this, like, if you're coming that soon anyways, if you're coming again that soon anyways, do we, like, couldn't you just keep going, Jesus, and then you deal with it? Because this is a lot. This is not an appealing sending. This is not an appealing mission. Can you imagine? So every Sunday I say a benediction at the end of the service, and they're words of blessing. They're words that are like, as you go into whatever your week has for you, may God go with you. May you know God's presence with you, right? Like there's these words of blessing. They're meant to be an encouragement that whatever you face as the week progresses, you've got this encouragement that has sent you out. And Jesus, Jesus benediction here, not super supportive in a lot of ways. And then he says, a disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It's enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? That's kind of a long way of saying, listen, they're going to treat me like this, and you're my disciples, so of course they're going to treat you like this. This is what he's saying, really, in short. And he's saying, if they're going to, like, accuse me of being the devil, then of course they're going to malign you. Anybody who's connected to God, any of God's children, any of Jesus' brothers and sisters, they're going to have just as bad things to say about you. You're not somehow released from it. You're aligned with me. You're with me. You're going to get whatever I get. Don't be surprised. So I don't know about you, but I can't help but thinking those disciples must have been second-guessing themselves or second-guessing Jesus or wondering why on earth they said yes to him in the first place. Maybe some of them were going, okay, well, but let's not forget, like, we did see him raise somebody from the dead. Let's not forget that time he, like, spoke a word and the whole storm over the sea was quiet. Let's not forget that. How many people have we seen healed from incurable things? Okay, let's not forget that. And yet still, all of this, Jesus, what are you sending us out into? And then these are the words that are so important for us to hear starting at verse 26. There are six verses that I'm going to read. And three times in just six verses, he says the same thing. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Have no fear. So he's just said, this is the way it's going to be. Now, have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, you tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the rooftops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but can't kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted, so do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. There's something really important in this, you know. As much as this horror story that Jesus has just warned them about must have been off-putting, knowing ahead that it's not going to be quite as all great as you think it is incredibly helpful. How many times have any of us gone to a conference or a celebration of some kind, something where when we walked away, we were kind of on this high. We'd really, maybe it was a camp experience when you met Jesus, or you had this great experience of the Holy Spirit's presence. You're on this mountaintop. You're sure that with Jesus by your side, you can take on the world. And then you get back home, and your family is awful. Or you go back to school, or you go back to work, and just the plummet from the mountaintop to the valley seems so fast sometimes. And we can forget everything that happened on that mountaintop. And I kind of think that what Jesus is doing here is he's saying, we're going to leave the mountaintop now. And don't be surprised. All of this is going to happen. Like, the valley comes after the mountain. Like, don't be surprised by any of that. It's going to be awful. You're connected to me. So as bad as it is for me, it's going to be bad for you as well. He's saying, like, just don't be taken by surprise by that. But also, don't be afraid of it. Don't try and run away. Don't try and just stay here and never go out and never be sent because it's scary out there in the world. I'm just going to hide in my apartment. I'm going to hide in my room and not deal with it all. He says, no, don't be afraid. Because all of those lies that are told about you as you're arrested and dragged before the council, the truth will out. The truth will be known. Those who speak untruth, that will be revealed as well. You can trust God with this. You don't have to be afraid of the things that are said about you or against you. You don't have to be afraid even of violence that might be done against you. Because even though they might kill you, you won't actually be destroyed. I think that's a really hard one to hold on to, because being killed is scary, and it's scary because it's probably painful and frightening and all of those things. And he's saying, no, but life, Jesus says this a lot, life is about so much more than the here and now. There's a promise that there is life beyond this that we can hold on to. That's what that Romans 6 passage is all about as well, that death no longer holds that sway. You don't need to be afraid of that. And he says, you are so valuable to God. You don't need to be afraid of that, because in the darkest, deepest valley, when everything seems hopeless around you, when you're in the pit of despair, when you have forgotten what the mountaintop was even like, God is in it with you. Because he values you. It's so much, you know, that little sparrow, like, we don't care about sparrows, and little sparrows go about their business, and God knows every one of them. God knows every single hair on your head. He counts them all. He changes his count every day as more fall out, or more and more fall out, whatever happens to us. But you are more valuable than any sparrows. You're more valuable than the hairs on your head. You are the most valuable, most precious thing to God. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid, because he's never abandoning you. He's never just saying, like it's not like God lives on the mountaintop and then we go down to the valley and we hope we get up to another mountaintop where we can meet God again. No, God is in it with us. And sometimes it's so dark down there that we can't see God. We can't feel God. We lose all sense of God's presence. And that's where it's so important that Jesus spoke those words while on the mountaintop, so they could look back, they could remember them. They could go, oh, you know, I'm in prison, I'm shackled, I've been flogged, my back is a bloody mess. But Jesus said this was all going to happen. And he said I didn't have to fear it. He said I didn't have to worry. He said this is just like what he endured. And God loves me and God is here in this with me. I don't have to be afraid. Even if I die in this dark, deep cell, I don't have to be afraid because God is on the other side of that as well. Whatever happens, God is in this with us because he loves us so deeply. He values us so very much that he's not going to let a hair on our head be harmed without him being right there, strengthening, empowering, upholding us. You know, fear is a natural response that makes sense. Fear keeps us safe sometimes, right? Fear in the face of danger stops us from running smack dab into danger oftentimes. It's a response that's natural when we're faced with something very unfamiliar, when we're not quite sure what to do in it. Think about whenever angels appear, what's one of the first things they say? Do not be afraid, right? When Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant and he was going to, you know, quietly just set her aside, and the angel comes, he says, don't be afraid. When the shepherds experience the angel choir starts singing and the whole world is ringing with this odd, unfamiliar scene, is do not be afraid. When the women are at Jesus' tomb and an angel of the Lord appears and rolls the stone away, the first words the angel speaks to the women is, do not be afraid. It's unfamiliar. It makes sense that we're afraid in all of that. But Jesus over and over again, God's angels over and over, what they say is, do not be afraid. Not because the thing that's happening isn't scary. Not because the thing that's happening isn't unpleasant or isn't familiar. But because God is in it with you. What are you afraid of in your own life? What are the things that fill you with trepidation? Maybe you're waiting for the results of a medical test. Maybe you haven't even gone to the doctor because there's something going on that you're nervous about. The disciples were sent into a world that was filled with chaos and violence and division. It wasn't really a world all that different from ours. And into all of that, Jesus says, don't worry, I'll give you the words that you need when you need them. Don't be afraid to speak the truth. It'll be known. Don't be afraid of the lies that people will tell. That'll be revealed. Don't be afraid of those who hurt you or who might hurt you. I've got you. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted, so do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. I don't know what it is that you're facing in your life these days. Maybe there's some really very real physical dangers that you're facing in your life. Maybe your job is insecure and you're not sure what you'll do if you lose it. Maybe your health is failing. Maybe there's conflict in your family and you don't know if your relationships will survive. And into all of it, Jesus declares, do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows.